Father, we're so thankful that you've given us all things, Lord. You're our sufficiency. There's nothing lacking. We look to you this day, Lord, to be glorified in our midst, that your word would go forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And Lord, we look to you, not to our own abilities, not to our own strengths. We're weak, and when we're weak, that's when you're strong. And we're so thankful to know that. Know that you come in, Lord, you're faithful to answer prayer. You know our hearts and needs, Lord, and just pray that this word going forth this morning would minister to those needs, that we would be open in our hearts to receive what you have for us. And you're faithful to take care of all things, Lord. Work them all together for our good, as you said you would. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, if you would like to open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 46 and verse 10, and you're going to see how this fits in with the song Tammy just sang. Isn't he wonderful? Psalm 46:10. Be still. Hallelujah. Be still and know that I am God. Don't need to read the rest of it. That's what the sermon's about. Be still and know that I am God. And, you know, the things going on in the world today are anything but be still. There's such, you know, just even the natural things we see in the hurricanes and the flooding and the earthquakes, the wildfires that are going on. And more and more we see these things happening. And then, you know, the countries threatening each other with war and so forth. And the prejudice that still goes on in the world and the conflicts, the demonstrations, people are just unhappy. It's not a very peaceful place. And then, you know, that's just what's going on outside. What about the things that go on in our own minds? Sometimes those can be the worst things when we start to think of all the things that trouble us, that, you know, that we have. Maybe it's a physical thing that's bothering us, or it's a loved one, someone, a relative that's not saved, that just is such a burden to us, something that we is on our minds and on our hearts all the time. And these things can be overwhelming to us. And we need the Lord. But what does he say? Be still and know that I am God. He is God. We aren't still because we're just going to gloss over things. We have a passion in us that wants the things of the Lord for our lives and for others. And we live in a tumultuous time, but be still. We can be still if we know that he is God. Let's turn over to Matthew 24 and read a little bit more about this. There's the disciples were asking Jesus about when the end of the world would be. And in Matthew 24, starting in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So Jesus was telling them that you're going to hear of wars and rumors of war. This is the day we live in. You hear these things all the time. There's pestilences, there's earthquakes, as he said here, nation against nation. But what does Jesus say? He says, be not troubled. Don't let these things trouble you. He said, these things must come to pass. And isn't it wonderful, as we see these things happening, we're not happy that they're going on. I thought of this gun fire, the shootings in we've had in schools and in theaters and in Las Vegas, and, you know, what kind of, that kind of stuff didn't go on. very long ago. It's just things, men are getting worse and worse. The evil of man is waxing worse and worse. But the Bible said it would. So we don't need to be troubled about it. We pray about it, we're concerned, we care for things, but be still. These things must come to pass, and that's the precious comfort we have is the Lord. He told us a long time ago that that's the way things were going to be. And when we see it coming to pass, what does it tell us? That the Lord's coming is soon. It's near. These things are getting worse and worse. And, you know, the earth is likened in the Bible to a woman that's going to have a child. And the birth pangs get worse and worse as it gets closer. They're more intense and they're closer together. And that's how this world is. The things that are going on are more intense, and they happen more often than they used to. And it's because there's a birth that's about to take place. There's going to be a nation born in a day. Israel's going to be born in a day, born again in a day. And it's because of the Lord's faithfulness to that nation. They're his chosen people. It isn't Israel's faithfulness. We were watching a show on TV the other night on this Jewish channel, and there was all these rabbis talking to each other. And Jewish rabbis, and you know what they were talking about? Do you believe that there's a God? And most of them did not believe that there was a God. It shocked me. And they were just like, no, I'm not, I can't say for sure I believe in God. And this is God's chosen people. You know, you talk about, Paul said, blindness in part has happened to Israel. Wow. So blind. So it's not their faithfulness. It's not them being the ones holding out faithful that is going to restore them to be the head of the nations. It's God's faithfulness. He made a promise, and he's going to keep it. And that's the same in our lives. Whatever goes on, God's made promises to us, and he's the faithful one. We're going to stumble and fall and fail and be miserable. Don't let that trouble you. Trust in the Lord's faithfulness. Know that we're just flesh, and you know we're dust. The Lord knows who we are and what we're made of, and what we can and can't do. So he encourages us to look to him. When we're weak, again, he's strong. So take confidence in the Lord, and you can be still with this. And you think about even that nation Israel and how they are, yet God's going to restore them. A nation born in a day. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read a little bit more about the time we live in, these last days. Second Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we're living in these last days. Can you not see these things in our midst today, how men are? I mentioned about those gathering today for these events, football and whatever, and there'll be tens of thousands of them gathering for things like that, and they'll be all enthused about that, but they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's nothing wrong with having some pleasure. The Lord's given it to us, but when you put that ahead of, or put anything ahead of God, it's out of place. You want to always have him first. But these days we live in, people, disobedient to parents, and even in the schools, you look at how the teachers have no respect in the schools anymore. And many of the good teachers are just quitting because it's ridiculous what's going on there. And that's what man's solution to things, what has it brought about? Are things better? They're not better. They're getting worse. And again, the Bible said they would get worse. It's not going to get better till Jesus straightens it all out. It's not going to be man's conniving and their programs and their solutions to it that's going to fix it. It's going to be the Lord. And his way will work. Nothing else will. Because even John said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. You know, you're either in Christ or you're in the world. And Jesus, when he prayed to his Father, he says, these disciples that you've chosen, they're not in the world. I've chosen them out of the world. And that's how we are. We've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's chosen us out of the world. And the world is a wicked place. The world's not your friend. And those that have gone into the depths of it can testify to that. The world will spit you up and chew you out and make you worse for the wear. But we're not of the world. The world's wicked. And we also read that the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And you think about what it's showing here. I'm sure many of us have been to a place where there's been a beautiful blue ocean where you could see way down into the waters and the coral and the fish, and it's just a lovely thing. Well, the wicked are like the troubled sea. It's just casting up all this mire and dirt and filth, and you can't see what's going on. It's all confusion. That's the world. We are not like that. We're not of the world. But it's because we can be still and know that he is God. And the Lord, I wanted to mention a few things where the Bible says, I am God, to different ones. And one of them's in Genesis 17:1, when the Lord appeared to Abram. Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. And right after that, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Now that Almighty is just what it says, Almighty, all might. Another place the Bible says that all power belongs to God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. No one could have any power except for God gives it to him. So he is Almighty. And when he told Abram, now here's Abram, 99 years old, and way past the years of childbearing, and his wife, Sarah, could never bear children. But God says, I'm going to make you the father of a multitude. That's what Abraham means, the father of a multitude. He's Almighty God. He can do whatever. He can turn back the clock of time and have you young again. And he did with Abraham and Sarah. And so, Almighty God, he says, I am God. And then he did this, said the same thing kind of to Jacob. Right after God changed Jacob's name to Israel, God said to him, I am God Almighty. And Israel means a prince with God. So how about a prince with the Almighty God? He had a place there, didn't he? And Israel, the descendants, the nation, has a place with God. And later in Jacob's life, when Joseph asked him to come into Egypt, the Lord appeared to him again. He said, I am God. Fear not to go down into Egypt. I will go with you. Now, how about us? Does the Lord ever ask you to do something that maybe seems a little fearful to you? Like getting in this pulpit? I'm serious. This is, you know, it's sort of funny, but Oh, praise the Lord, you know. But he says, I'll be with you. And if I didn't think the Lord was here with me, I wouldn't want to be here. And that's when I said, I've been in business with my machine shop for 25 years, and the Lord's blessed it. But that's how I prayed when I said, Lord, if you're not going to be with me in this endeavor, I don't want to do it. But the Lord, he encourages us, and he wants to bless us. And we always want to seek him, though. Seek him, Lord, what's your will for my life? Is it to do this or do that? And when he gives you the okay, as he did with me, he affirmed to me that that's what he wanted me to do. He was with me in it. And I could go forth in a confidence that, Lord, you're with me. And I can be confident here this morning that the Lord here is with me. He's here with all of us. Jesus, as we read in the book of Revelation, he's walking up and down in the midst of the church. He's looking at each heart. And he's looking to how much he can give you a reward is what he's doing. He's looking for the ones that have not left their first love. He's looking for his bride. And he's looking to who he can give the greatest reward to. And that reward would be he himself as a bridegroom. Praise the Lord. And then to the nation of Israel, many times we read, I am God. He says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. And Israel is God's witness to the earth, to the nations. You look at the things in the Bible that the Lord did with that nation, and he said, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest, but you were the fewest. And that's how the Lord does it. He picks those that are helpless, that he can show forth that it's not them that are going to do it, it's him. It's his might. And with the things he did with Israel and the Bible, the nations that they destroyed, that they came against, where they were vastly outnumbered, God took care of it. And you knew it had to be him. You think of Gideon when he came to that battle, and he had 32,000, whatever it was, and the Lord said, that's too many. You'll think you did it. And he whittled it down to 300. And they went against all those tens of thousands and whooped them, because it wasn't them, it was the Lord. So the Lord says, you're my witnesses. And it's not just the Bible. You look at the nation Israel, even in modern times, that some of the wars they've been through and the things that are going on, how so many nations would just love to stamp them and smush them out and get rid of them. And they even publicly say that, but the Lord's for them. They're going to be the great witness in the kingdom age. They're going to be the ones saying that this is our God. This is our God. We waited for him, and he's the faithful one. Some other places in the Bible says, I am God and there is none else. There is no other God. I am God and there's none like me. Who could you compare to God? Or what could you compare to God? Nothing. And the Lord, even in some of the places where they're worshiping idols, he's like, well, this idol, you're going to compare that to me? That idol can't even see. It can't speak. It can't. You have to carry it around. You have to nail it down so it doesn't move. That's what you're worshiping? And that's about the folly of anything we put ahead of the Lord. It's that foolish. It's that foolish that we would put something ahead of the Lord and think that that deserves our best. We need to give him our best, not anything else. And then he says, I am God and not man. And, you know, there's a lot today that I think are, they think that God is just like them, that he's got the same limits as man and whatever, the same failures, the same problems, but it's not that way at all. Let's look over to Psalms 50 and read a little bit about this. Psalm 50, starting in verse 16. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. That's how man is. They say, well, God's not doing anything about this. He's going along with what I'm doing. You know, we live in an age of grace. And the Lord's not executing swift judgment right now, which we see will be in the kingdom age. If you look at the first few chapters of the book of Acts, is a picture of the kingdom age. When someone did something, there was swift judgment brought right upon them. And it's going to be that way. But right now, we're living in an age of grace. And so some of these things, the Lord is long-suffering, and he'll let these things go by. But don't think that he's like man. He's not. And when these people do something evil, and they say, well, you know, if this is wrong, let God strike me dead. Oh, he didn't strike me dead, so I'm okay. No, that's not it. You know, it's he is gracious and long-suffering. He wants everyone to be saved. Jesus died for all men. But God is not like man. His thoughts are so high above man's thoughts. His ways are so high above man's ways. He's not like man at all. But we want to be like him, don't we? He created man in his own image, and he wants us to be like Jesus. And so we want to be that way. But he's God, and we want to continue to be still and know that he's God. But our nation, as we think about the way our nation's going these days, is kind of following the footsteps of Israel, isn't it? Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. See some of the things that Israel did that you could see going on in our country right now. Deuteronomy 8, starting verse 10. And this is when God's getting them ready to enter into that promised land that he provided for them, the place that he prepared. In verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And what about our country? Has the Lord not given us blessed us with a wonderful country that we live in? He sure has. And I think our forefathers, when we first started out and they were brought here, they blessed the Lord. They thanked the Lord for what he gave them. They were very thankful because he gave them a wonderful land here. But now, you know, we've kind of gotten things we've been blessed. We've been blessed and things have increased. And people take it for granted. We've got nice houses to dwell in. The things we have are multiplied. And then people can get puffed up like that. Then they'll forget the Lord. And we don't want to be that way. You know, the world's that way. Our country's gone that way. But we want to be thankful. The Lord has truly blessed us. And one of the things is to be blessed that we can gather and have the freedom to gather and worship the Lord. There's a lot of places in the world that don't have that freedom. But we need to be thankful. And jump down to verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware to thy fathers this day. You know, there was a guy named Nebuchadnezzar that had to learn that the hard way. He thought that what he had in his great kingdom was what he accomplished. And the Lord had to make him be basically an animal for 7 years until the Lord gave him his senses back. And then he realized that it was God that puts up whom he will and puts down whom he will. And as it says here, the Lord's the one that gives you power to get wealth. Many men today go after wealth, not caring who it's going to hurt. And people get left out without a job or whatever, just so someone can have another digit behind their fortune. And it's a sad thing. But, you know, still, it's the Lord that enables them to do it. They might think, well, I've done this and that to get what I have. The Lord will give the pig his slop, you know, for now. But it's just for now. Once this life's over, it's gone. The things that they're accomplishing and or acquiring to themselves, they're not going to last. And so let them have the things they have, whatever. It's not going to satisfy. But, you know, the things that the Lord's given us are forever. They're forever. And hallelujah. The word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word's not going to pass away. And he's provided an inheritance for us that we can't even imagine. It's going to be wonderful. Praise the Lord. But another thing Israel did that is prevalent in our country right now is in those days it says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In the book of Judges it says that. And isn't that true? You see people that they don't care what the word of God says. The things that our Lord says that we should and shouldn't do, they don't even acknowledge the Bible as being anything special at all. And they go about to just do what they feel like doing. Well, this seems right to me. I'm going to do this. And they even go so far as to say, well, I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to stick it in your face and make you accept it too. And you know, you see that. You know what I'm talking about. The things that are going on in this world that can be such a, we hate them. But, you know, again, we love the people. We just hate the sin. But again, we don't have to get all worked up about this and say, okay, we got to go hire find a certain person and we can put an office that's going to straighten this out and we've got to do petitions and that. Be still and know that he is God. The Lord's going to straighten it out in his time. It's not going to be our efforts that do that. It's not going to be our committees, our marches, our whatever that's going to get something accomplished. Be still and know that he is God. Let's don't get wasted in our time and caught up in things like that. Our time should be spent knowing the Lord, you know, knowing his word. just walking in the light he's given us, being a testimony to others, and having that smile, as our brother said, and people see, what's this guy smiling about? Jesus, that's what. So anyway, thinking more of these, the world we live in, the wicked, it says, the wicked through pride will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And we're starting to see that more and more. You know, when there's a disaster hits, it used to be people would get together and pray and call on the Lord. And we've had some pretty massive disasters happen lately, and you don't hardly hear the name of the Lord at all. He's not in their thoughts even. Not even in their thoughts. How sad is that? The God that created them, all things, and loves us so that he gave everything he had for us to know him and to have eternal life and to grow up and have the true riches, they don't even pay attention to him. It's like when Jesus came the first time. He came into the world and the world knew him not. And that's how the world is. They don't know him. But we know him. And there's a few that do. And we are thankful for that. That even thinking again about Friday night, Brother Derek went and testified to someone and that person got saved. Hallelujah. That's what we rejoice in. We don't get worried about what the world's not doing. We just know what the Lord's doing, and he'll find a heart. Like this place is a city. It's like a city on a hill that can't be hid. This is a light to people, and the Lord drew me here from 1,000 miles away, Chicago area, and I thought I was coming here because I like the mountains. But the Lord is bringing me here to hear the truth, and that's for sure, and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. He'll meet the need of the heart, and he does that. So another thing it says in Romans, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And that's, we see that again, that they don't want to have a Bible in the schools. They don't want to have prayer. If there's something on a government building referring to God, they want that taken off. You know, and it's a sad thing. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge, but he's there. He's here all the time. People like that try to, they're so dead set against the things of God that they want to change things. But, you know, again, are things getting better or are things getting worse? They're getting worse when you turn away from God. Because it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And those that don't have the Lord for their God are not blessed. And then what it boils down to, though, is there's no fear of God before their eyes. And it's talking about reverence there. Reverence. You know, Israel, again, is our example. And when at Mount Sinai, when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments, you know, the mountain was on smoke and there was earthquakes and trembling and a loud trumpet sound, and the people were all afraid, and they said, Moses, you go talk to God. We'll stay here. You tell us what he said. We're not going over there. But what the Lord said, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me always. If they had that kind of reverence for the Lord, and if they would have kept that, they wouldn't have gone out like they did and forsook him and worshipped other idols and gone against the things of the Lord. But there's no fear of God before their eyes in the world. And, you know, you look at the life of Jesus. Jesus had a fear of the Lord, a reverence for his Father. And we need to have that reverence. This is God we're talking about. Be still and know that I am God, he says. We're not dealing with any other creature that deserves any more respect or reverence. It's God. He is over all. He's made all things. He inhabits eternity, the past, the present, the future. And he's in control of all things. He holds all things together. We need to have that reverence for the Lord. And it's sad, you know, we're grieved when we see people that take the Lord's name in vain. And that's getting to be more and more common all the time. But thank the Lord, he's gotten a hold of our hearts. It takes the Lord to change you. You might go to someone and say, you know, I don't like you using the Lord's name in vain. Would you stop? And you might say that. You know, I've said that. But really, it's going to be the Lord that makes a change in a person. It's not going to be you going after him and trying to correct him. It has to come from the heart. And the Lord's the one that sees the heart and the one that changes the heart. And he'll do that. But we're called the sons of God, right? Hallelujah. We're sons of God, sons of the living God. And we're to be lights in the world. We're supposed to show others the things, be an example of the things of God. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and read this verse. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So how do we be lights in the world? Well, what does it say there? Don't be murmuring, complaining. Don't be arguing. That's the world's way. They're never satisfied. They've always got something to argue about, something to be dissatisfied about. But we can be lights. As again, our brother over there, what are you smiling about? There's nothing to smile about. Yes, there is. You just don't see it. You need those spiritual eyes to see it. You know, it's not the things in this world that's going to be, you know, like, oh, let's see how the world's going today and let's celebrate. No, let's look at how the world's going and know that the Word of God said it's going that way, and that we can look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming soon. And to those that are looking and loving his appearing, he's going to appear to them. But you got to be ready. Not everyone's going to go in that first trumpet sound. Just the ones that are looking and loving his appearing. And again, how is that? The Lord, he doesn't put something out there that's too hard for us to do. You know, he does it all. He says, just love my appearing. Be looking for me. Have me to be your first love, what your heart's desire is toward. All of us can do that. It's not about a certain accomplishment or anything monetarily or skills or talents or anything like that. It's just love the Lord. Love the Lord. God is love, and that's the chief thing. And let's turn over to Romans 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And so be still and know that I am God. Well, you say, well, how can I know God's for me? Well, let's read the next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God spared not his own son. The best he had, he gave for us. He's for us. God wants us to have his best. And so be still and know that I am God. And he loves us and he's given us all things. He's for us. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry. We don't have to, you know, we look at all these things, but just take a moment and say, well, what do we say about all this? Well, God's for me. God is for me. Hallelujah. And Jesus said when he was getting ready to depart, he told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he says, my peace, not like the world's peace that's there for a moment and then something happens and it is all gone. Just like our economy, things will happen and it can all tank. The stock market, whatever, up and down. But he said, my peace. Was Jesus ever worried about anything? No, he had the peace of God. We can have the peace of God. So he says, my peace I give unto you. And so, what does he say? Don't let not your heart be troubled. Be still. Know that I am God. I've given you my peace. And again, we can have it through the Word of God. We treasure the scriptures. We find encouragement and comfort in the scriptures in any situation of life, a death in the family. Where are you going to find comfort? Someone coming over and crying with you, or you know, maybe giving you a card? No, you give the Word of God. He's the healer of broken hearts, and the Word of the Scriptures. There's such hope in there and such encouragement for any situation we go through. Sickness and through loss of job, through whatever. There's nothing that the Word of God can't meet in our lives. Praise the Lord. He's given us all things. Now I want to close out with one more scripture in Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we don't need to be anxious about all the things going on in the world, and we don't need to be anxious about all the things going on in our minds either. We can trust the Lord, because we can get like, Lord, I want your best, but I'm blowing it at every corner. I'm failing. I'm miserable here. I should be joyful, and I'm not. I should be a testimony to you, and I feel like sticking my head in the sand like a, you know, just I want to hide. But the Lord, you know, don't be anxious about these things. Just pray in everything by prayer, but be thankful also. Again, we have been so blessed. Be thankful. Don't look at all the negative things. Look at the positive things. Lord, you've blessed me so. You've given me all things that I need. You're the one that's faithful to complete this. I can trust in you. Your word's true. You're coming again soon. I don't need to be troubled. I can be still and know that you're God. Praise the Lord. I hope that encourages you this morning. Father, thank you again for your wonderful word and the all-sufficiency that you've given us. We praise you, Lord. You're our God, and we have confidence in you. We can be still. We can know that you've finished it. Jesus, you said on the cross, it is finished. You completed everything, and you've just given us, Lord, good paths, good works to walk in that you've prepared before the foundation of the world. All things are prepared. You love to give to us. You've blessed us, and Lord, we long to see you, knowing also you, Jesus, longing to behold your bride and to be together, and we are thankful for that. What a glorious dawning morning it will be. Hallelujah, and just thank you, Father, and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.